The Gardener's Bench is brought to you by Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping, Museum Road, Rock Hill. Now's the time to get them in and get them growing. Carolina Fresh Farms. Call 327-8686. And by Imperial Pool and Spas, Anderson Road, Rock Hill, and now next to the Food Lion in Tega Cay. And now, here are your hosts, Steve Crump and David Rector.
And good morning, and welcome to the Gardener's Bench. We're here every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9 on WRHI AM 1340, FM 100.1, and WRHI.com. I'll get it right here in a minute. Well, Mr. Rector's playing golf this morning, so he's not here today, but my good friend and confidant who's really helped us out over the years, Mr. Paul Thompson with Clemson Extension Services, with me this morning, and I think we're going to have a very interesting conversation. But anyway, good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. What's happening in the extension world exciting this week?
Well,
still working from home.
It's hard to be excited working from home, but yeah, I've been planning some online programs. It'll be coming up in August. Start Master Gardener class next week. That's going to be virtual. And start back with First Fridays.
I was going to ask you about that. I've been getting some people asking about that.
Yeah, so, we haven't had a First Friday. I think the last one was in probably First Friday of March. And I'm 62 years old. I'm not a techie, and it takes me a while. And to kind of get up to speed on some of these things. So I'm finally comfortable with some of the things such as Zoom to be able to actually host a program. And
So it's going to be virtual too?
Yeah, everything's virtual right now. I don't know when we're going to go back to live programs. So they're probably... I don't know if there's something's come out in the paper yet, but you can go to yorkmg.org, which is the York County Master Gardener website, and right top right part of that page it says First Friday Seminars. You click on that, and then there's going to be a web link.
So they give us the schedule. So
right,
okay,
right.
Well, Terry Plum will send them to me, I think. So. he was before all this happened, anyway, which came in handy because I had the list, but sometimes I couldn't find the list on Friday afternoons getting ready for this thing. But anyway, we talked a little bit, and then you sent me an email. I sent you an email. You sent me an email, and I actually read them for a change on time, which helped, but... The first thing you mentioned that's I'd already gotten a phone call on from somebody in North Carolina is these unsolicited seeds that are showing up. Now, I don't know if they're showing up in South Carolina yet.
Yeah, we've had a few reported here in North County.
Yep. So don't plant them, I guess is the best word.
Yeah, people have been, just receiving in the mail these packages of seeds from China. And... Nobody really knows what's going on, why they're being sent, but we are telling people not to plant them. And we've got a reporting website set up now. That's a long web address, but if you would just Google Clemson invasive Chinese seeds, and it gives you where you can go online and actually report it. They will create a database of all the reports and the people's contact information, and as soon as they figure out what we're going to do with these seeds, they'll then contact folks. So don't plant them, don't throw them away in the trash, don't do anything. They recommend you put them in a sealed plastic bag and just report them and hang on.
Hold on till they decide what to do.
Yeah, so, I mean, those seeds, it could be that the seeds are, some invasive species.
It could be a lot of
also,
things.
Some seeds can carry viruses, and so we don't want to be introducing anything we don't know about into the environment.
I hadn't seen any personally, but I've seen had people send me pictures of them. Some of them look kind of harmless. Some of them look a little scary. That's what I've seen now.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have no clue what they are. That would not be a good thing to get it injected into your landscape, because the big problem, it could get into the commercial production, and then you got a big problem. So,
yeah.
You know, you don't want something that's going to wipe out the wheat crop in the United States, since we feed two-thirds of the world, you know. So, okay, so don't do anything with them. Hold on to them, but report them. And the big key there is report them, because
right. The
state needs to know where they are and what they are and that kind of thing, so they can figure all this stuff out. Okay, the second thing you mentioned, and that I had on my list too, is the Asian longhorn beetle. Now, I hadn't heard much about it lately, but I guess it's in South Carolina now, according to your email, and doing some damage.
Yeah, some homeowners in a subdivision down in Hollywood, which is a little community just south of Charleston off of Highway 17.
Okay.
You know, I don't know what they probably called the extension office originally, and they, you know, had maple trees dying, and it was found to be the Asian longhorn beetle. Right now, they're continuously doing surveys, trying to kind of delineate where it is. And it has been devastating to red maple species, but they've also found it in some elm trees, and there was some other species, but doesn't seem to impact oaks. But this is a devastating beetle. It's a huge longhorn beetle. Longhorn, it just common name. It's got very long antennae. The beetle is probably it's over an inch long, inch and a quarter, inch and a half long. It's black, little white spots on it. Got blue. The last segment of their legs, you know, their feet, if you want to say that, are blue. And their antennae have, you know, white bands. So they're not hard to identify.
You know what you're looking at, okay. Okay, well, there's the music from Mr. Stone, so we're going to take a quick break to pay the bills, and we'll be right back to the Gardener's Bench.
Hey, Mills.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm missing the big game because I'm out here pulling weeds.
Carolina Fresh Farms has fertilizer and maintenance programs tailored fit for your lawn. Don't spend your game day pulling weeds. Follow the maintenance program and make your lawn look the best it can look.
Really?
Yes, Carolina Fresh Farms, your landscaping supply specialist.
This is Steve Crump of Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping. Unsure what needs to be done in your yard? Looks like more work than you want to tackle? Give us a call at 329-1080. Rolling Hills, serving the York County area for over 40 years.
Museum Road, Rock Hill.
Start your swimming season the right way with Imperial Pool and BioGuard. This is Mike Elder. We'll customize a no-hassle treatment plan to make opening your pool quick and easy. Relax and bring your water sample to BioGuard at Imperial Pool, 21 Bypass Rock Hill, or next to the Food Line, Lake Wiley.
We return now to the Gardener's Bench on WRHI-FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. And now, once again, here's Steve Crump and David Rector.
And we're back to the Gardener's Bench. Now, we've been talking about this new Asian longhorn beetle a little bit briefly here. And as you said, Paul, it's been attacking red maple. Now, I've read about it doing that. But you said that it had been found in an elm somewhere down there. But there is basically doing the research on it right now. They don't have a treatment plan or anything like that.
Well, really, the treatment plan, and it's going to be a mess. I mean, they are going to basically cut down all maples within this area. I think it's 10 square miles right now. And out from that, because these beetles apparently don't fly very far. I mean, they just go from they either reinfest the same maple that they emerge from, or they're they fly to the nearest maple tree. So they're going to cut the trees down. They chip them up, and they have to chip them up fine enough where, you know, the larvae can't survive. And, you know, they're just trying to clear out a zone to try to contain the beetles. There's really no insecticide treatments or anything like that.
So there's no treatment. Now they're just trying to contain it.
Right.
So basically. Oh, right. Wow.
And the main method of dispersal, and probably how it arrived in South Carolina, is firewood. And a lot of things get spread around by firewood. In fact, the emerald ash borer, more than likely the same thing, because, you know, it's been up in the Midwest and Northeast for quite a while, and, you know, then suddenly it pops up, you know, hundreds of miles away. And
now, is that the one that was attacking the green ash a year or two ago?
It's all ash species. Yeah.
Well, I mean in York County, because weren't we having problems with green ash here, getting something jumping on them?
Well, I don't know that it's actually been reported in York County. I'm sure it's here because it's, you know, there's been, you know, confirmed infestations in Charlotte. And ash trees are not a predominant tree in our forest, but there are pockets of ash, and some people have some really nice ash trees maybe as a shade tree in their yard, and those can be protected with the systemic some of the systemic insecticides.
I'm getting old, and I'm a little older than you now at 65, and I can't remember, but I was thinking a couple of years ago there was something attacking the green ash, and primarily along the creeks and ponds and stuff. So I'm hallucinating again. That happens. That's what happens from my younger days. But anyway, the other one that I wanted to ask you about, and this was a big deal a few years ago, and I don't hear much about it now. Every once in a while I'll see an article written on it, but the boxwood blight that hit the mountains of North Carolina, where 90% of the boxwoods are grown. Have they come up with anything on that yet, or is it still there? I'm sure it is.
Oh,
yeah. I just don't hear much about it anymore.
Yeah, it's still there. And, you know, we've had some folks in South Carolina that have ended up with it and probably came in on some of the plants purchased. I mean, it, you know, protective fungicides can help, but, I mean, there's no reason to do it unless it pops up somewhere.
I had some friends that grow them up there, and I mean, certain parts above Asheville in the hills up there, there's every opening pasture's got boxwoods in it just about. I mean, these guys have been growing them forever. And the guy we used to buy them from, he said, it's kind of weird. It would hit one hill and then skip the next one and then get the next one. Now, they just totally wiped out the whole patch, not just one or two. And but last time I talked to him, it's been probably a year ago, he said they seem to think they don't know what's causing it totally yet, but they think they got a not a necessary treatment, but a preventative thing going on right now. So, and the other one was a biggie one, and I kind of hesitated to bring this one up on the air, but I guess we really ought to. But the rosette disease that hit all the knockout and then finally the drift roses. A few years ago, it was going to take every one of them in the Carolinas out, and we hadn't seen much of it the last year and a half, 2 years. It's still around, but not like it was when it first showed up.
Yeah, I
get
a call
up
every now and then, but not as many as
I was
getting.
When it first showed up, I mean, it was taking them out by the hundreds. Mm-hmm. And
well, you know, I think now that people are aware of it, people aren't planting them, or they had it and they've gotten rid of those roses and not replanted. So it, you know, it seems like all these very popular plants that get widespread and that kind of thing, it kind of creates more of an issue.
Tell the truth, they get overplanted. That's what happens. And we do it because that's what people want. That's what we give them.
And, right.
I know we actually quit selling the knockout and the drift for a little while because of that disease. I just didn't want to give people a problem. But everybody else kept selling it. So Tommy and I finally said, well, we'll get a few in, and if people want them, we'll tell them. And by that time, that's when it really slowed down. I think we've had one this year. Somebody brought one in. That's what it was. So I guess if you do your the big thing is always be careful where you buy the stuff. So stuff nowadays is shipped all over the country, and you could get somebody else's problem if you're not careful. But I don't know. It's always something. Yeah. And we're getting new stuff more and more. But Proving Winter just came out with something, and I wish I'd kept the thing, but it's supposed to take the place of the boxwoods. It's not a boxwood, but it looks like a boxwood because of the boxwood blight. And that's what made me bring that up, because we hadn't seen the boxwood blight around York County in a couple of years. When it first came out, we called you and you identified something for us. But it's been a while, and but most nurseries have quit buying them in out of the mountains. And so I think all that was 100% bringing something in here from somewhere else. But anything else kind of exotic that we had a problem with that's now straightened, not necessarily straightened out, but we don't hear about as much?
I can't think.
I know there is, but I just can't think of it. And I didn't write them down. So anyway. Okay, so now we're going to move on to my least favorite topic in the horticultural world, but we're going to get into the, quote, native trees. And as Paul and I were talking off the air, and my argument all along, it all depends on definition. Who's making the rules?
Well, I mean, you have native plant purists that, you know, anything that's not naturally growing, you know, it could be native to the United States or native to the Southeast or, you know, but if it's not growing naturally in the area where you are, then they call it an exotic. But you know, for the most part, what we're concerned with are exotic species that end up being invasive. And you know, one of the ones been around forever, and you know, you can still buy it, is the Chinese privet, which is a ligustrum species. And, you know, they've got variegated privet and the new one, rather new one, Florida Sunshine, which is a golden leaf, very attractive plant. Shearing those plants seems to cause them to revert. So, and that's the same with those, the old variegated one that's been around for a while. People shear them, and that causes the plants to put out growth that reverts back to the natural form.
Because it turns back green, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, well, that was the music again, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back to talk about more native trees.
Instead of going to the beach, enjoy the water at home with an above-ground pool from Imperial Pools. This is Mike Elder. For the cost of spending a week at the beach, your family will enjoy a pool at home for many summers to come. See Imperial Pools, 21 Bypass, Rock Hill, and next to the Food Line in Lake Wylie.
This is Steve Crump of Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping. For over 40 years, we've been growing quality landscape plants climatized for the York County area. From perennials and ground covers to trees and shrubs, we grow the finest quality available.
Museum Road, Rock Hill.
Hey, Mills.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm missing the big game because I'm out here pulling weeds.
Carolina Fresh Farms has fertilizer and maintenance programs tailored fit for your lawn. Don't spend your game day pulling weeds. Follow the maintenance program and make your lawn look the best it can look.
Really?
Yes, Carolina Fresh Farms, your landscaping supply specialist.
We return now to the Gardener's Bench on WRHI-FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. And now, once again, here's Steve Crump and David Rector.
And we're back to the Gardener's Bench, and Mr. Rector's not with us this week, but I've got a very capable replacement. In fact, he ran this show for 7 years, Mr. Paul Thompson with Clemson Extension Service. But that was back when it was an hour and a half real show and not this little 30-minute thing we're doing now. But I don't have time to do an hour and a half show, so that's why it's 30 minutes. But anyway, talking about native trees, now one thing I like to tell people, I get a lot of people wanting whatever those big trees are at Winthrop, but they're talking about the live oaks. Live oaks are not native to York County. They're native to South Carolina, but not York County.
Yeah.
They were brought up here and planted a long time ago. Those things have a lifespan that's unbelievable. I guess those are over 200 years old now.
Oh, that. Easy. Many of them much older than that.
Well, they were planted in the 1880s. Sold. Okay. So those at Winthrop, now there's others around that are older than that. And Magnolia is another one that's not native to York County, but he is native to South Carolina. So, and we do a whole bunch of varieties of Magnolia. And I always get somebody says, I want the Southern Magnolia. Well, they're all Southern Magnolia. But we're going to get real picky, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of – we're actually growing one that came up – I guess it came up from a seedling. We found it on the other side of the pond. And I'm assuming that would be considered native since it came up naturally. But anyway, it's turned out to be a real good one. It grows faster than the species, and the bloom is just huge on it. It's just a monster, so – but those things are growing a couple feet a year where the regular ones are growing 6 inches a year. So mm-hmm. I don't know what's how. There's got to be a negative to it, but we haven't found out what it is yet.
Well, there's a few native trees that I'm very fond of. You know, of course, you got a lot of different oak species. But, you know, in this day and age where you have these high-density neighborhoods and not very big yards, you know, most yards don't have enough space for a,
exactly.
an oak. You know, red maples, they're native, they're widely planted, but they are not a street tree. And yet, all these new subdivisions go in, and they got a little strip of grass between a sidewalk and a curb, and they're planting these maples, and they got this extreme heat coming off of the road, the asphalt. And that kind of thing. And that is just not an environment for a red maple. They are naturally occur kind of in low moist areas, and out in the middle of a yard with plenty of rooting area, they're fine. But as a street tree, the stresses,
you're restricted to your system,
right?
They
got
bring a whole lot of problems up there.
Yeah, one of the gloomy scale is one of the big things. It's a insect pest that just proliferates in that kind of environment. But bald cypress actually makes a really nice street tree. It doesn't have to have moisture, even though it grows in a naturally in swamps and that kind of thing. Black gum is another one that's very underutilized, that is a good tree with great fall color. One of my favorites, actually probably my favorite native tree, is sourwood. It's a, you know, you go up in the mountains and, buy sourwood honey, but they're naturally occurring, in York County. Another one with just brilliant fall color. It's got blooms. Lily of the Valley tree is another common name for it, because the blooms are these little spikes of flowers that kind of cascade at the end of the branches that are white. And it's just a very attractive tree. I describe them as trees with character. They often don't have a straight trunk or a symmetrical crown.
I think that was the problem. We had them at one time, mm-hmm. and we quit them, and I'm just sitting here trying to remember why. And I think if everybody wanted that nice straight
right,
trunk,
right,
and they
right.
just don't grow that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, if you want a line of trees, a uniformity, that's not one. But to me, it's more of a specimen type plant.
It's funny you mentioned bald cypress. Just this week, we decided to re-enter that one into our product mix. We had it a long time ago. I forgot why we dropped it, but we dropped it. And Tommy was looking for something a little different, and we decided to go back with that one. So, well, it should have been in the fall. But anyway, Mr. Stone's sending the music our way, so we're going to take our last break, and then we'll be right back to finish this edition of the Gardener's Bench. This is Steve Crump of Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping. Unlike garden centers, we're an actual growing nursery that sells plants to the public. Over 80% of our plants are grown right here at our Museum Road location. Come check us out at Rolling Hills today.
329-1080.
This is Mike Elder. We're the pool care specialists at Imperial Pool and Spa in Lake Wylie and Rock Hill. We are your local BioGuard dealer, ready to assist you with a wealth of pool care knowledge, wide range of proven BioGuard products, and everything needed to establish the best system. Come see us.
Hey, Mills.
Hi, neighbor.
I'm missing the big game because I'm out here pulling weeds.
Carolina Fresh Farms has fertilizer and maintenance programs tailored fit for your lawn. Don't spend your game day pulling weeds. Follow the maintenance program and make your lawn look the best it can look.
Really?
Yes, Carolina Fresh Farms, your landscaping supply specialist.
We return now to the Gardener's Bench on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. And now, once again, here's Steve Crump and David Rector.
And we're back to finish up this edition of the Gardener's Bench. I want to thank Mr. Paul Thompson of Clemson Extension again for filling in for me today. It's always a pleasure, Paul. And we did talk about something besides vegetables this time. He'd been complaining that every time I had him on here, I had him talking about vegetables. Last time, I think it was vegetable gardens, but there was just a little bit of difference. But this one's been pretty fun. I was telling y'all there, we're going to start carrying the bald cypress again. Now, one thing I run into a lot that I've had some of them tell me that, like, on the red maples, the cultivars are not considered natives. Are they or are they not?
Well, they're natives.
Now, maybe the Autumn Blaze, which is a hybrid, might not be, but others should be.
Yeah, they are just, they're what a cultivar is, it's somebody sees a tree that might have some unique characteristics that are different
than
from
the species.
from the natural appearance that's attractive. It's aesthetic. It's an aesthetic thing, and or maybe it has to do with growth habit. Maybe it's got a really good growth habit where it's not as, you know, maples tend to develop double trunks and that kind of thing kind of readily, and you know, so it could be some that just have a better structural they're put together better, and so they name them, and then they propagate them either from grafting that onto a seedling rootstock, or they root that plant, so it's a genetic clone of that particular plant. But it originally was found as a native, just a variant, just something that looked a little different. Fall color might be a little different, might be more vibrant, all these different things that go into selecting these cultivars. And some of the native purists don't like cultivars because they say, well, that, you know, it doesn't have the genetic diversity, but
it kind of dilutes the species, I guess. That's what I've heard, anyway. I don't agree with it, but, yeah. That's why I don't like natives.
To me, unless you're planting everything from a seed, you don't have to name something. If you're propagating it vegetatively, it becomes a cultivar.
Well, that was quick, so that's it for this week. We'll see you next week on the Gardener's Bench.
The Gardener's Bench has been brought to you in part by Rolling Hills Nursery and Landscaping, Museum Road, Rock Hill. Now's the time to get them in and get them growing. Carolina Fresh Farms, call 327-8686. And by Imperial Pool and Spas, Anderson Road, Rock Hill, and now next to the Food Lion in Tega Cay. Join us again Saturday morning at 8:30 for the Gardener's Bench on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports.